Welcome to the Livelihood Matters podcast. I'm your host, Melinda Francois, a business coach, strategist, and project manager. I help people like you to package their unique knowledge and skills to create multiple streams of income and build sustainable online businesses. I've gone from being broke, living paycheck to paycheck, to building a five-figure coaching and consulting company. I did this by overcoming my scarcity thinking, and I've mastered the art of my thoughts, habits, and words to create the life I want for myself. I want to help others to tap into their higher self to create a business they love and to reduce dependency on one stream of income. We each have gifts that can be explored, and this podcast will help you to get the confidence to maximize your potential, to achieve what you want, and take the desired actions to accomplish them. I'll be sharing tips on scarcity mindset, generational poverty patterns, business strategy, online marketing, habit building, and content creation. Growth is intentional and does not have to be lonely. And I'm here to help you build generational wealth one step at a time by taking a look at the whole picture. Hey guys, good day. Hope you are well. I want to discuss something that I shared a post on, and I wanted to expand on it. And it's some core areas to focus on in the early stages of your business. It's something that I noticed a lot of people are struggling with, and I felt that it would be a good way to share it for persons to listen, for those who are even not on Instagram, persons who are perhaps just trying to find some tips online. So let's get into it. Starting a business is hard. Is a statement I have heard several times. I can choose to agree and disagree with this statement for several reasons. I'd say starting a business is challenging when you do not know where to begin or where to start applying effort and energy. It can also be challenging when you're not getting the anticipated results and it's taking longer to gain a return on your investment. It's frustrating when you actually invest a lot and end up failing. Yes, I said fail because nothing is guaranteed and businesses fail all the time. I was reading an article by entrepreneur.com and it explained that 20% of businesses fail within their first year and then up to 30% in their second year. Then by their fifth year, about 50% of businesses fail. Can you imagine? They also mentioned that failure varies based on the industry, and I concur with this. So failure looks different according to where you go and who you talk to. It varies. Failure can be a business closing. It can be changing economic conditions due to global economic trends or a pandemic like COVID-19. High variances, constant losses, and it can go on and on. Now, in the early stages of your business, you will have to make key decisions that will impact the trajectory of your business. And this is where you need to build the foundation of your business to help overcome and learn from failure. In the online coaching and consulting industry, failure looks different and it is still tough, and you will experience some difficulty along the way. The important thing is re-entering the market when you fail. Many people associate failure with shame, but failure is part of your success story. I'd say embrace failure and take it as lessons learned. In project management, we apply the lessons learned in the first project to improve the next, and this increases the success rate. Thus, failing helps you to achieve the success you want when you pay attention to the reasons you failed in the first place. Now, some of you are probably saying it's easier said than done, and you cannot risk losing your investment to fail, so everything has to work. But guys, it doesn't always work out that way. It is hard, and it takes guts to decide that you want to go into business and actually make it work the first time. However, being intentional with your strategy and daily habits can set you apart from the competition. If you have the expectation that you should achieve particular results within 3, 6, or even 1 year, you are in for a surprise because business does not always work out this way. Business is unpredictable and you have to engage in a lot of trial and error. Failure is something you need to be very comfortable with if you are really ready to gain that success. And I want to discuss 7 key areas to focus on during the early stages of your business to help reduce failure and increase your longevity. Many entrepreneurs start off hoping to achieve certain goals within a particular time frame, which are most times unrealistic. External factors can impact your business and it can be extremely difficult to control them. So in today's episode, I'll share what I learned in my 3 years as a side hustling entrepreneur and what you're going to focus on to improve your business. So the first one is mindset work. Back to the mindset. Always remember that your thoughts create your results. So if you are saying one thing but lacking the belief, you might not grow as quickly as you wish. You will go through a lot of comparison online, since social media can make you feel like you are behind. It is important to learn to accept where you are and enjoy the journey. You are not in competition with anyone. Well, you are in competition, but when you are growing, you cannot focus too much on the competition. You are simply doing this to give yourself the very best and serve those who need what you are selling. Build your confidence so when people start to criticize you, you will know whether to listen or to ignore. Every action taken is determined by your thought process. The decisions you make to start a business, register it, invest in a coach or mentor, and even hire employees begin with your thinking. People tend to follow a process based on what was done before and do not check their intuition or even their daily thinking patterns. People go into business thinking that they are going to make money and focus on the outcome so much that any sign of delay causes panic. Try not to go into business only for the money. Aim to make an impact. When you make this decision, make sure it's done from a place of passion and purpose. This will keep you grounded when the going gets tough. John Maxwell says, we need to make time for thinking daily. Evaluate each day and see whether we can improve the next. And this takes intentionality. What do you spend your time thinking of? The second one is time management. Time is constant. You will never, ever, ever get it back, so use it wisely. When building a business alongside your 9-to-5 or building it by itself and you're raising a family or doing school, time is your most precious asset. If you feel like you're overwhelmed now, it is time to cut out some non-money generating activities. Your time should be spent on mastering your craft, creating simple workflows, learning skills, establishing systems and processes. There will come a time when you need to say no to the 1,000,001 voluntary activities that you are involved in. You will need to spend more time acquiring knowledge, taking care of your mental health, practicing self-care and planning. Time is something that will set you apart. Create a schedule and stick to it until it no longer works. For instance, a single person with no children versus a single parent or married couple with different schedules will not be able to do the same things. They have to schedule the time differently. Decide what works best for you and implement it to get more time to work on your business. You are in control of your time. You can say yes and no. Remember this. I recall I was struggling with juggling work, school, and life, and it turned out that I was really wasting time doing non-growth related or self-care activities. I had to reshuffle my habits and monitor where I could make more time to improve my business. So guys, an essential part of managing your time is mind management. If you set your mind on completing a task within a time frame, commit to doing it. Block this time out and focus on doing the task. And if you want to learn more about how I schedule my time, for even for dates and friend outings, send me a DM on Instagram at Livelihood Matters Podcast. Learn to set boundaries very early with your friends, family, clients, colleagues, and even with yourself. Yes, yourself. To allow you the extra time to focus on things that are progressive. It is not personal, it's just business. The third area to focus on is market research. Some people avoid doing the basic market research before starting a business. They assume that they have a nice idea but ignore the feasibility of the idea given the current location and other factors. In strategic planning, I ask clients to test their idea using a framework called VRIO analysis. That's V-R-I-O. This is assessing how valuable, rare, inimitable, and organized it is. Will it pass the test against several parameters which are considered resource capabilities? For instance, you want to start offering tutoring lessons for disabled students in a particular region. You will need to research the demand and how valuable it will be for them. How many people are doing it already? Is it easy to replicate? This means if you need special skills to do it, and how easy is it for people to copy you? Are you trained to deal with the person's disabilities? This is just a synopsis, but you need to test your idea. Additionally, look at the political, economic, social, technological, environmental, and legal factors that could create opportunities and threats for your business. That is basically a pestle analysis. And that is something that helps you to write out a strategy for managing anything that can and will go wrong, and to assess risk and create a plan to mitigate them. People think market research is a huge, tedious task, but it's actually simpler than you think. Market research for product-based and service-based businesses will vary, but it starts with knowing whether your business is viable and whether you are able to implement it. You can have a similar idea to someone with a unique selling point. Find it and work from there. For online service-based businesses, doing market research can simply mean asking your audience what are they struggling with as it relates to your intended niche. Do a survey and track your responses, then do a thematic analysis to see what's coming up. So by asking questions, you can decipher the common themes and create your niche around this. Good market research can help your content to convert, so ask questions. The fourth area is upskilling and reskilling. Any business owner must upskill and reskill to remain competitive. Transitioning from corporate world to entrepreneurship means that you have to learn new skills. So in the early stages of your business, you will need to be the copywriter, designer, editor, social media manager, accountant, email marketer, videographer. You will need to be the jack of all trades until you can afford to outsource these services or this task, these roles, I should say. It is not economically feasible to outsource too many of these functions since you are growing and you need to save 90% of your profits. So focus on learning different things and improving areas where you're weak. Upskilling is something you need to do to increase your managerial capabilities. Think of where you are weak and what you need to do to improve, since it's a process of really learning on the job and applying yourself. Reskilling, on the other hand, means learning an entirely new skill set and stepping in an entirely new field. For instance, you studied science your entire life, but you want to start a business. You will need to learn business from scratch and keep at it. Also, it can mean learning to do marketing when you never did it before. You will never be a master at everything. Thus, you need to decide what skills you will improve on, what you will learn, and what you want to outsource. The fifth area to focus on is lead generation. Your research can help you to find leads. Once you identify who you'll be working with or what kind of people you want to serve, go find them. Your business cannot exist without clients. To be more relevant as an online service-based business or even a product-based business requires you to niche down. When you're starting out, you might have the employee mindset and assume that the general sales strategies can suffice, but this will not be applicable since you are not selling to everyone. The knowledge-based industry is built on personalization. Think of how well you can solve a problem for a particular group of people and go find these people who are interested in what you're offering. You should be actively generating warm and hot leads daily. You can start by joining a group on Facebook and LinkedIn that are similar in industry. Contribute towards the value bank. That's a term we used to say, share tips and give value. So when you give, it will come back to you. And then you attract your tribe from doing this. Lead generation can also mean messaging 10 people a day on Facebook or Instagram to find out what they need. It can also mean sending updates via WhatsApp groups. So don't just sit and assume that these things are going to come to you. You have to go there and do them yourself. And most importantly, when you're doing lead generation, collaborate with others to increase your exposure. Get featured on various platforms, websites, podcasts, and even stories. Get people to reshare your work or marketing material to increase your visibility. The key is having an attractive messaging that will make people want to work with you. You can hire people to help you to do this. Do not try to frustrate yourself about it. The sixth area is community building. You grow faster when you do it together. You might like the idea of being the standout leader or taking all the credit, but you cannot do anything alone. You are as successful as the relationships you build and the community you create. People like authenticity and genuine connections. So with that said, establish some collaborations, host joint activities, do speaking engagement or interview with others. Create a community where you can share relevant and valuable information for free. Start a weekly session, a podcast, newsletter where people can come to you or where they can learn from your sessions. Get involved in other events and network. I know the pandemic may have hindered a lot of networking opportunities, but people are being creative online. Find your tribe, find a group, and see how you can participate. I made some great friends from a group program, and we are all coaches in similar niches. Some of us are service providers, and we learn from each other and support each other. That is the best community I've been involved in. So guys, find your community. Do not isolate yourself. You cannot figure things out on your own. There are times when you will need someone to bounce an idea off, so find your tribe and support them, engage with them, ask them questions. The seventh area is building credibility. You are not a better entrepreneur, social media manager, consultant, strategist, coach, just because you have a certificate or degree or 10 years experience. You are great at what you do. You might be better at executing it, but you are already awesome because you can get clients' results. Your credibility doesn't just come from these things. It comes from how well you execute and you solve your problems for your clients. So focus on how you can leverage all of your experience to become better. Credibility comes from your failures, your years of speaking to people, getting them to buy from you from sales, and from simply observing how things work and trying new ways to fix things. You can build your credibility through life experiences, traveling, and working with persons from various cultural dimensions. And credibility is built through improving yourself and your craft over time, which is possible through upskilling and reskilling. It is something you have to be constantly working on. So you do not need to be in business for 5 years or particular years to say you are credible. You can come in now, 3 months down the line, you feel like you can help that person solve one problem because you are ahead of them. That makes you credible. Being able to solve one problem for one person makes you credible. So it's something you have to be constantly aware of and working on. It doesn't come from one source. And I will share more about this in a later episode when I speak about how to find your credibility, because it's something that's very, how would I say, sensitive. So I think that's it, guys. I think I'm done for today. But thank you for listening. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed today's episode, share with a friend, share with a family, share with a cousin, share with a... I will say... share with somebody who is going to enjoy it and who is going to value the information that I shared today. And leave a comment, subscribe to the podcast. I can be found on Instagram and Facebook at Livelihood Matters Podcast. Have a lovely day.